So again, I say good morning to you, Transformation Hour family, and any visitors that we have as well. Great to see you here this morning. We began a series a few weeks ago that we're calling Stuck, Unstuck, Free, and Flourishing. Stuck, Unstuck, Free, and Flourishing. Good morning, Sister Renee. Great to see you. And so we talked in the first week about being stuck. By the way, if you missed any of that, go back and catch it on the replay here within the Facebook page, or you can catch us, as I said earlier, on Deliverance Temple's website at deliverancetemple.org. Go back and so you get the whole story, because we broke open some good revelation over the last couple of weeks about being stuck, and then last week about getting unstuck. Good morning, Dr. Elisa. Great to see you. And so we want to continue on with the series in our third installment out of four this week, and we're going to talk about free, being free and walking in freedom. And so right away, you know, one might think, well, Mark, you talked last week about being unstuck. Isn't that the same as being free? Well, you know, on first glance, one might think, well, yeah, they're pretty similar. If you're unstuck, then you're free, right? Well, let's take a little closer look at that this week, because I want to make the case that being unstuck is not necessarily the same as being free. Now, I guarantee you, unstuck is better than stuck. We're on a progression here. I hope we're going somewhere. We're on an upward climb. We are moving towards a better place and a better destination than we have found ourselves in when we were in that stuck place. That's for sure. That's clear, I hope. But I want to make the distinction today and clarify for us some of the acute differences between being unstuck and being free. Very, very basically, very generically, if you will. I had a lot of thoughts as I have been studying and thinking about this topic that God has given us for this month. And when I think about being unstuck versus being free, perhaps it's just because we live here in America, but perhaps it's because of all the social and racial unrest going on. Perhaps it's because I've been black all my life. That's just a fact, y'all. But I think back. I think back over the course of our history here in this country. And of course, although some would like to drum it right out of the textbooks and out of the teaching and skip that whole chapter, there was a little something in America called slavery. There was a whole economy built on and based around slavery. About enslaving human beings. One set of human beings enslaving a whole other set of human beings and causing them to be in this position, this stuck position, for many of them their entire lives. And so you say, well, what were some of the implications or the signs of being enslaved, of being stuck in slavery? Well, at its most obvious were chains. Y'all know about chains. And in this case, of course, I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know, probably. I hope you got that lesson in school. Maybe somebody skipped that and, You know, they thought everything's just always been the way that it is now and wonder why there's so much unrest, because there's a little history to go along with this. Y'all bear with me. Just give me about 5 minutes right here. Are we going somewhere today? Chains. Now, when you see somebody in chains, you absolutely know they stuck. They're no like, well, are they stuck or not? Let me see. Let me think about it. No, you ain't no thinking about it. You see chains shackled head to foot, hands, legs, waist. Sometimes devices were put about the neck to make it impossible or certainly more difficult to run away or to get into a place of freedom. And so, we knew that individual was stuck. But in other situations, we find that the individual's walking about with no chains on, no chains on their hands, no chains on their feet. They're walking around here and there, and it would appear, oh, he's free. Wait a minute. We skipped a step. He's still stuck. And even if one were to say, well, he's unstuck from the situation of being completely bound and chained up, you can make that argument. Yeah, he's unstuck in that sense. He has a little more freedom of movement, but watch that freedom of movement. When he gets to the edge of the property, oh, you better stop and turn around. Don't step off the property. You may be unstuck, but you're not free. Ah, Lord have mercy. And so with us here in Christendom, we find, I would argue, that there are folks who are unstuck, but still not free. I would argue, listen to him, got a little sing song in his voice, the preacher trying to come up, but I'm not going to let him do that today. I would tell you, we find that we have folks who are unstuck, but not free. In fact, they may show up at the appointed time every Sunday. You know, the slave, even without the chains, get up every morning and head to the field. Yeah, right in that routine. Yeah, he was unstuck from chains, but he was not free. He'd head out to the field every day. And thank you, Brother Carey. Appreciate that. He's encouraging me, if not egging me on, to go ahead and preach. But I'm here to teach today, so. The preacher coming later. She coming later. But we find folks coming to church every week. By all appearances, they walking in of their own accord. There's no chains on them. They obviously are not stuck at home. Maybe they own out. We here today, we got our masks on out in the audience, and we're socially distancing, but we're unstuck from the house. Amen. Sister Rosalind, you ain't helping now. She's talking about, do it, Mark, do it. We ain't gonna preach today. But they come in bound. Internally, bound in their minds, bound up in old habits and old ways of thinking, bound up with concepts and theologies that no longer serve them. And yet, these things have a hold on them. Invisible change. Unstuck, but still not free. I want to posit for your consideration this morning as we look once again at our... these people, I tell you what, Sister Renee, now, go ahead. Y'all better watch out. Y'all gonna get something you're asking for in a minute. I want to have you consider, though, for a moment that when you are still bound in your mind, bound in your heart, bound in your thinking, bound in the way you think about God, bound, come on now, in the way you think about yourself, you may be unstuck. Physically, you may be unstuck from a situation you used to be in. You know, my wife is a substance abuse counselor, and they have in those circles a situation. Some of you may know a little bit about this. Maybe others of you, it's news. But they have a situation where they refer to a condition of a person as a dry drunk. A dry drunk is not actively drinking alcohol. He or she may not have had a drink in some time. They walking around unstuck from the clutches of drinking. And yet, by all appearances, all attitudinal and mental appearances, they still stuck. They are not free. Good morning. What's good about it?
Why are you so happy?
That's right. Yeah. Sister Linda said, why are you so happy?
Come on.
Fred said, you got that stinking thinking going on. Those habits, those attitudes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Would give evidence to the fact that you may be unstuck, but you're not free. You're not operating in a mindset and a set of emotions that is healthy and that is productive and that is forward thinking. You are still
bound.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, Sister Carrie. Good morning, Minister Felicia. Good to see you this morning. And so there's a difference in just being unstuck and being actually free. You come and you do all the things that, you know, that the preacher told you to do. You show up on time and you put some money in the offering plate. That's very important, you know, of course. And you know just when to say amen and when to say oh me. We had an evangelist that used to come through back in the day when I was a boy, and he would be preaching along and things get a little quiet, and he'd say amen. He'd be quiet up in the house. He said, if you can't say amen, say murder, because I know it's killing you. I ain't trying to hurt nobody, Hammer. Come on now. But I want you to be free. I want you to be completely and totally free. And God wants you to be completely and totally free. It is not his intention for you to be walking around looking like you're unstuck, but still bound in your mind, bound in your heart, bound in your relationships, bound in your finances, bound in your health. My God. I feel like Pastor Gwen Marshall right there. My God, man. I'm thinking of, you know, I'm on one right now, so y'all just going to have to pray for me. I got notes. I really do. We're going to get to them in a minute, maybe. But I want you to go with me. And I'm thinking about the woman that we see in the Gospels who was bent over. She had been bent over for a long time. The Bible tells us 18 years. That's a minute, y'all. 18 years she'd been bent over. Couldn't stand up straight. She'd get around, obviously, because here she was at the temple. She was unstuck in one sense, but yet very much bound. And Jesus says something very interesting to her as he begins to minister to her. Y'all know it. Bishop T.D. Jakes made a whole brand off of it. Started off with a Sunday school class and turned that into a book and turned that into 84,000 women at the Georgia Dome. Oh, yeah, and a movie as well. Women worldwide shouting out the battle cry of Jesus as he vanquished the kingdom of darkness that had laid hold of this woman. I told y'all I'm not going to preach this morning. But Jesus looked at her and he said, "Woman, thou art loosed." And that woman was free from that moment on. She was free. "You're loosed of your infirmity," he said to her. That thing had to back up, let go. She stood up straight and began to praise God. Now, here's what's crazy about that. This ain't even in my notes, y'all, Lord. This was crazy about that. She's in the church. She's coming to church regularly. They all knew her. They saw her in this unstuck but not free condition. And either were unable or unwilling to seek any remedy for her. I want you to know that sometimes, even in the place where you should be able to get some help, let me look into the camera here. I ain't gonna look around. Sometimes, even in the place where you should be able to get help, you're still stuck. You're still bound. Others looking on you with pity, but with no help. You know, Lord have mercy. somebody told me the other day, they said, "What is it about some folk?" This is way off, y'all, but I'm still in here. They said, "What is it about some folks, you know, they owe you money. And somehow, I mean, what is it about them that makes them equate the phrase, 'I ain't forgot about you, man,' with paying you? That's not the same thing." I ain't forgot about you, sis. I ain't forgot about you. And I can't take that to city utilities. Said, "Mark, what does that have to do with anything?" I'm saying that you can be right in the middle of a whole bunch of pity and sympathy and not be getting any better because you need the power of God to free you.
Amen. Amen. Amen, sir.
Man, I'll be doggone if I'm coming to church every week, giving money in the offering, patting my hands at the song, and stay bound. The devil is a liar.
Yes.
That's just ridiculous. That don't make no sense at all. I'm not doing that. I'm not settling for that. God does not want you to settle for unstuck when you can be free. I'm trying to get to St. Louis and you drop me off in Rolla. I appreciate it, but I'm not even close still. And that's way too far to walk. Take me all the way there to the destination. Really help me out. I'm not sure. Hey, you know what? Somebody told me, Minister Collins, ain't no half-stepping. Are we going to do the thing or not? So, let me get on to today's lesson. As we are about 25 minutes away from the top of the hour, I got plenty of time. We're good. We're golden. Ha ha. Pastor Carol says, you got to be free. Got to be free. Don't settle. Don't settle, she said. Minister Tucker said, I'm not settling for that. Mm-mm. No, no, no. We're going all the way there. God wants you all the way there, not just unstuck, but completely free. Completely free. So, one of the hallmarks of genuine freedom, I would submit to you, one of the hallmarks of genuine freedom is deliverance, inside and out. Deliverance. Inside and out. We see where Jesus set people free from stuff that was on top of them, sickness, disease, what have you. Very oftentimes, you see mentioned in those same passages, the word deliverance. Why? Because one goes hand in hand with the other. Now we're here at Deliverance Temple Ministries. Deliverance Temple Ministries. Deliverance is in our name. We are all about being free up in here.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We are all about being free up in here. You're not free if you're not delivered. You say, well, delivered from what, Mark? Whatever ails you. Different things for different folks. One thing for you, something different altogether for me. But guess what? He wants you all out of that bondage, whatever kind it is. And he wants you free. So, the scripture tells us, this thing is acting, I got my little, my trusty tablet here and it's not wanting to act right, but guess what? You know, we can go old school. Boom! It still works, y'all. I know some of y'all not aware of the fact, man, but you know. The printed page still is a viable option. Sometimes even if you got to get some help, you know what I'm saying? You just do what you got to do. Turn with me in your Bibles to the gospel according to John, the beloved disciple. I need to stop y'all. Chapter 8, and I want to look down to verse 31. We may go down to about 36 on this one real quick. Jesus, let's go 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, get that now, he's talking to the Jews who had believed him, If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. He said, you're off to a good start. How many of y'all know about that? You're off to a good start, but he says, you need to continue to be a real disciple. Good morning, Sister Tyra. Good morning, Brother Mark. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. And so verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you
free.
That's right. You want to be free? Not just unstuck, but free? Know the truth. I got to pause right there. The truth about what, Mark, begs the question. I would posit for your consideration that you need to know, first of all, the truth about God, the truth about who he is. Because then and only then will you begin to come into a true and genuine knowledge of who you are. God wants you to know the truth about him, and he wants you to know the truth about you.
Amen.
Why is it so important, Mark, that I know the truth about God and the truth about me? Because Jesus says, knowing the truth is going to make you free. Not just unstuck, not just having a semblance or an appearance of freedom, but real freedom comes through knowing the truth. You see, I know that some of you are maybe not aware that you're walking around thinking about yourself in a way that's not true. I want to help somebody right here. You've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray. The devil has lied to you. Some of your friends and family have lied to you. And they have given you this view of yourself, this opinion of yourself that is not in line with what God says about you and who God says you are. And so you're walking around stuck in your own mind. You look like you're free, but you're really still bound because you don't know the truth. Oh, yeah, you can be in church every week and not know the truth about you. You say, well, God is good. God is great. God is good. You're right about it, but what about you? Oh, I'm just a worm. I'm just lower than pond scum. I'm just the worst of the worst. I can never be right.
Come on, sir.
That's why I come to church, because so the pastor can tell me how bad I am every week. I said, oh, yes, Lord, you sure right about it, Pastor. I'm the worst. Why in the world do you bother showing up? I'm just curious. Why are you showing up for that? God wants you to understand that he sees you differently. Especially as we have here these who have believed in Jesus. That's who he's talking to here. He says, continue on in that knowledge. It's a progressive situation. It's a layer upon layer, line upon line, precept upon precept situation. I want you to walk right on up out of stuck, right on through unstuck and into freedom. Y'all don't hear me? Verse 33, then they answered, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you'll become free? Lord have mercy. Now, anybody who has read, took a cursory glance at the Old Testament, know that the people of Israel endured many encounters with slavery. Many. Wouldn't have been a need for Moses had they not been all enslaved in Egypt. We see them go into bondage and slavery many other times during the course of the Old Testament story. And yet here they are trying to perpetrate the idea and the fallacy. Well, we've never been enslaved to anybody. Even when we were slaves, we weren't really slaves because we could still worship God. Uh-huh. You out in the field picking that cotton and singing, oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You ain't free. Perpetrating a fraud. Trying to convince Jesus. Now listen, 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 Linda, listen. Try to put one over on Jesus like he don't know the real. Oh, we've never been. We're Abraham's children. We went straight from Abraham to here. We've been free all forever. I wonder if Jesus just took a minute and just looked at him like, that's your final answer? You really want to go with that? Really? That's, you sure you want to go with that one? Yeah. He says to them, verse 34, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. 35, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain in the house forever. Y'all, please, somebody help me stay out of American history. But, you know, the slave lived down in the slave quarters down around over there somewhere. And they may show up every morning at the big house early. Sweep, clean, make the fire, start the breakfast. You walking around in the big house, but we all know you don't belong in the house. You in the house, but you're not part of the family. Can I make it clear? You in the house, but not of the house, Deacon Frizz is. And about sundown, you better be found heading back down the path. Because you can't sleep here. Jesus says, you are a slave to sin. It's still got a grip on you. You don't even know who you are. I'm trying to help you. So he says this verse 36, we know it well, and this is where I'm going with this passage. So if the son, who is a member of the house, who does have authority, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The Greek's very emphatic here. Not just free, but for real free. Not just faking the funk, but you really free. Not just unstuck, but free. Can I tell you this morning that God wants you free, indeed. Amen. Not just kind of, sort of, look like, almost, maybe, having a decent day today, but I don't know about tomorrow. I'm talking about for real free. Lord have mercy, my God. I wish I had more time, but I'm going to take the time I have. How about that? So in the, we going somewhere. I'm trying to get out the Gospels here. Let me look over real quick in Luke chapter 4. You got to love this because it is a passage we often refer to as Jesus kind of coming out party. He's telling folks what he's really here to do. And in the 18th verse of Luke chapter 4, quoting from the prophet Isaiah, actually reading in this case from the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." That's good news, y'all. "He has sent me to proclaim release or freedom to the captives." Oh, that sounds like more good news. "And recovery of sight to the blind." Ah, but here we go. "To set free those who are oppressed. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." That's what time it is. It's the year of the Lord's favor. You said, "Mark, are you living in the same 2020 I'm living in?" Yes, I am. And no, I'm not. Yes, I am. And no, I'm not. Because he set me free, see, not just got me unstuck out of a jail. Lord, have mercy. Somebody's going to get tired. Bishop, somebody is going to get tired of just getting unstuck and stuck again and unstuck and stuck again and unstuck and stuck again. Well, he paid my light bill, but now the car note's due. And okay, he paid the car note, but now the light bill's due again. And he, stuck, unstuck, stuck, unstuck. Still a prisoner, never really free. Listen, can I tell you without getting too deep that here's a literal translation of verse 18 as Young's renders it. He said that he's come to send away the bruised with deliverance. That's what the Greek literally says there. That Jesus says, "I've come to send away the bruised with deliverance." The word "bruised" from the root word in the Greek, thrao, which means to break in pieces, to shatter, to smite. See, some of us been beat down by life. We done got a life beat down. Can we just admit that we find ourselves in that situation? Jesus says, "I came for you. I came to set you free. I came to send you away better than I found you." You came bruised and broken and battered, beat down. I'm going to send you back. I'm going to send you out delivered. That's what the scripture says. That's what he came to do. He didn't come to just get you unstuck. He came to give you deliverance, true freedom, freedom indeed. Ah, somebody want that. Somebody tired of the vicious cycle. Somebody tired of just going from unstuck to stuck, stuck to unstuck. Somebody want to be free. Somebody want to break the chains. Somebody want to break the cycle. See, because Jesus understands that the real question, we're only coming to this these days, here it is 2020, we're just now kind of figuring it out in mental health and substance abuse and psychological circles. We're only just now starting to figure out that the question is not what's wrong with you. The question is, what happened to you? See, Jesus knew what happened to you is why you're the way you are. He said, but I'm here to send you away better than I found you. I'm here to mend the broken. I'm here to heal the bruised. I'm going to send you away, not just unstuck. I'm going to send you away delivered. My God today, man. See, now, if you need a little more proof, I'm sure I'm coming close to my time, but if you need a little more proof that that's really what he came to do, I find a witness in the Apostle Paul over in his letter to the church at Galatia. I just want to turn there really quickly for you grammar folk. I want to get there quick. I want to hurry up and get there. Lord have mercy, if I get these pages to turn, we'd be all right. There we are. This is Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. If you don't get anything else I said today, and I hope you do, if you need to get the replay, just go back and listen one more again. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says in this definitive statement, in this very clear statement, he says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Jesus said, everybody who is bound by sin is a slave to sin. He said, but I came to set you free indeed. Paul co-signs it and says, it's for freedom. That's the whole point. It's for freedom that Christ set you free. Not to be bound, not to just be unstuck, but for freedom. He wants to move you all the way into true deliverance and freedom. That's why he did what he did. Pastor Carol declaring to herself, woman, thou art loosed. That's right. Say what he said.
That's right.
You need to know the truth about you. See, when you know the truth about Jesus, that he came to set you free, that was the point. He said, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Then somebody or something tried to bind you up, tried to get you stuck again. You're like, uh-uh. I ain't down with that. I'm not going there. In fact, Paul goes on to make it very clear, since you've been set free, he says, don't be entangled again, King James said, with the yoke of bondage. New American Standard says, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of sin, of bondage, slavery. No more. Let that be your declaration of faith this morning. No more. No more. Never again. I'm not a slave, Mother Mabon said. May have been once, but no more. That may have been my old story, but I got a new story. That may have been what I told myself, but now I hear a different voice. The voice of Jesus saying, you're free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Free for real. Let me drop this little cute phrase on you that the Holy Spirit dropped on me one time, and he reminded me of it this morning. He said, He said, Jesus came for your deliverance, not for your reliverance. He came for your deliverance, not for your reliverance. He doesn't want you reliving yesterday, last year, some other life, some other situation. All the times it didn't work out. All the bad stuff they said about you. All your failures. Quit reliving that mess. Quit reliving it. He didn't come for deliverance. He came for deliverance. To set you free, and free indeed. Free for real. Listen. Boy, boy, boy. I could go on for a minute, but my time has come to close. So I'm going to back up off of this thing. God have mercy. We move from stuck to unstuck all the way into free. I want you to understand Deliverance Temple. I want you to understand everyone listening here on Facebook Live. I want you to understand everybody that's going to hear this replay. Here's the truth. It's for freedom that Christ set you free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed, free for real. I don't care what that old story running in your head has been. It's time to eject and reject that and accept and embrace the truth and begin to walk in the truth. You are children of the Most High God. You're the head and not the tail, above only and not belief. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're the apple of his eye. You're the beloved. You are in him who God has made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's 1 Corinthians 1:30. You need a reference. Know the truth. Know the truth. And you'll be free. Know the truth. When the enemy comes this week, this week? He coming back this week? Yeah. He'll probably try to make a cameo appearance, show up. See if he can still, push that same old story, push that same narrative that, you've been going along with.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you sure is right, devil. Yeah, I know. It usually don't work out. It probably won't work out this time. And I don't know. If he was going to come through, it looked like he'd have come through by now. Yeah, you sure right. Yes, devil, it is a suffering way. It's suffering. It's uphill both directions. Oh, God. Yes. The rough side of the mountain. Found out the other side was rough, too. Oh, Lord. Can I tell you the truth, which is that the devil is a liar? He has been from the beginning. Don't listen to him or folks who are working with him.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, did I just say that out loud?
That's good.
See, because some folks, they're under the influence. They don't need drugs. They don't need alcohol. They're just flat under the influence of the devil. They're under the influence of sin. Somebody told me, and I'm starting to believe it might be, factual, that misery loves company. And listen, if things ain't going right for you, I'm going to tell you all about it, and you're going to tell me all about it, and we both going to be stuck in Lodabar. Lodabar, Hebrew word, which means no word, literally no word. You need to turn that thing around and get a word, because the truth will make you free. Why do I show up every Sunday? So you can see my beautiful face? Well, that's maybe a perk, but that's not the reason I'm here. I got some noise from the cheap seats here. Okay. I come to give a word. I come to help set you free and keep you free. He doesn't want you just being, you know, free one week or free in one area of your life. Listen, if you got areas of your life where you still found yourself stuck or you're unstuck but not free, God intends to take you all the way. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't let go of the promises of God. What promises? The ones in this book? Read. Listen, these days, you know, technology is such that you got really no excuse. You can listen to it on a CD, you can listen to it on a radio, you can listen to it on an MP3, on the internet, on your cell phone. Get the word of God in you. Minister Tucker said when she get up to read the scripture, she said, get your phone out, get your tablet out, however you access the word of God, even the old printed page, however you're doing it, get it out, read it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, because it is the word of God that tells us the truth, not only about God, but tells us the truth about us. Don't believe the hype of the enemy. Don't believe the hype. I had a Flavor Flav moment there. I'm back now, y'all. Some of them went with me there. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. That's my time this morning, y'all. I hope you got something out of this. We're not even going to stop here. We got one more week, and that week is about flourishing. God wants you not only to get unstuck from your stuck position, but he wants you free. He not only wants you free, but he wants you flourishing. But I'm going to give you a sneak preview right now and tell you that you can't flourish until you're free. You can't flourish until you know the truth. So come on back next week, same bat channel, and we're going to talk about flourishing, because God wants to take you all the way, even in the middle of a pandemic, even in the middle of the craziness and chaos that's going on in our world and in our streets, even with the upcoming elections. God wants you free. He wants you flourishing. He wants you above and not beneath. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
All right. God bless you. I'll see you next week right here.